Good morning, everyone. I think that chapter that Emilio just so wonderfully read, excuse me, is very indicative of kind of the whole of Apostle Paul and traditional theology, where there's a lot of good things. You know, I love how he talks about this idea of like, you know, if you're following the will of the flesh of sin, then you get those bad things. And if you follow the will of the Lord, then you get those good things. And how he says that the Holy Spirit vindicates our good behavior. But then he gets off on this whole other thing that I would not agree with as much, about, you know, heaven and save, and who is saved and who's predestined. For traditional theology, you get yourself in kind of a paradox, because if the whole goal is being saved from hell to heaven, well, then that puts things in very kind of black and white, sharp contrast. So if that's the idea, then the ultimate goal is to get as many people to accept Jesus as possible, right? That makes sense. But if God already knows everything that's going to happen, then he already knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. So Paul just talks about it right there, about predestination. Well, what's the point of sending people out to save those who are already going to be saved? And those people who are already condemned, there's no hope for them. Paul talks about there's hope. Well, there isn't for them. They're already done. They've already, you know, God has already knows that they're not going to accept. And so therefore, they're already going to burn. So there's kind of this chicken or the egg thing. At Trader Joe's, we've been out of eggs. The people have been most displeased with our lack of eggs. And they asked me, and I said, I don't know. So I asked the manager, and the manager said, there's a chicken shortage in California. And I said, a chicken shortage in California? I never heard of this. And they're like, yeah, that's why there's so few eggs. So they're rationing how many eggs we're allowed to have in any given day. We get a certain amount. And I said, but was there a chicken shortage first, or was there an egg shortage first? Because the chickens hatched from the eggs. So just as Trader Joe's has a chicken or the egg problem, traditional theology has a chicken or the egg problem. If there is hope through redemption, through Christ Jesus, then we should accept him. But if you already are predetermined to not accept him, then there's no hope for you, and therefore no hope in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Am I being tricky with my words? Anyhow, it is my firm belief that the gospel is so much more than being saved. It is so much more valuable that Jesus says that if you knew how valuable it really is, you'd give up everything else. I try to follow the Lord. I would not give up my kids for him yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't know the true nature. Because if I did, I would give everything else up. The video games, the job, all of it would be meaningless if I really knew. So there's hope, because there's always more for me to do. 41 years old, I'm just getting started. I'm not predetermined to be this guy. I never was. None of us are predetermined to be anything. That's the hope. Wherever we are at now, we will be more or less depending on our effort. If we follow the will of the Spirit, as Paul says, there is no end to our ability to grow. That's what I want to talk about today, growth. I was talking with one of the people at Trader Joe's, you know, this was last week as New Year's was coming. And I said, hey, man, do you make New Year's resolutions? And they're like, nah, man, that's just, you know, that's a bunch of bull. They're like, I believe in constantly improving. And I was like, right on. This person also told me that they smoke marijuana every day. Now, it's not for me to judge, but it's going to be very difficult to constantly improve when the first thing you do is wake and bake. But I like the idea of New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions for me, you should be like this guy was saying. I shouldn't have kind of dismissed him like that, but you should be constantly improving. But I think New Year's resolutions are kind of a way, just like church. You don't need church to be saved, but it helps as a reminder, as a touchstone. Every week, I'm tagging the base. I'm reminding myself to continue my efforts. So we didn't have church last week because we were spending it with family and friends. And as a result, I found that I kind of had a more difficult week this week. Right? The church isn't what saves me. The church isn't what's the gospel. The church is an opportunity for me to touch base, to remind myself, to replenish. There's a bird or something that's tweeting. Sorry, I got distracted, Judy. So with the new year, this is an opportunity for us to reevaluate and reassess what we want to do. So I do like New Year's resolutions, but mine are the same as everybody's, right? Spend money more, you know, practically, save it, and don't buy Postmates so much, get in better shape, that kind of thing. But also, and more importantly, I want to grow in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means being able to hear the voice of the Lord. We use these words, these metaphors, because it's hard to talk, to actually think about what the Holy Spirit is. How can something be everywhere at the same time? So when we feel the Lord telling us to do something, we use the voice of the Lord. Jesus says, let he who has ears to hear, hear. But the Holy Spirit isn't like, Gabe, you spend too much money on Postmates. Thank you, Lord. It's a feeling that I get. It's a notion that I have. And the more that I pray, and the more that I try to listen to that voice, the more I go to church, the more I pray, the more I try and follow that inkling, the more present it becomes. The more that I ignore it, the quieter it becomes, or the less prevalent. I'll give you an opposite idea. When I was young, I started smoking cigarettes because I was a foolish young man, filled with arrogance. And the first time that I smoked a cigarette, I knew that it was wrong. But in my rebel spirit, this idea that I had to shake off the bonds of control, the bonds of conformity, this idea that I had to be my own man, and so I was going to do something to plant a flag. And the Holy Spirit, because I was a young man who had lived his life reasonably well up to that point, was telling me, this is wrong, Gabe. It's wrong. It's bad and it's wrong. But because there's also the voice of sin, as Paul says, you got to do it, Gabe. It's the only way that you'll be able to rebel, that you'll be able to make your own path. You understand? The first time it was difficult and I hated it. The second time it was slightly less difficult. The third time it was slightly less difficult. And over time, I didn't even hear that voice at all. Over time, I couldn't go 2 hours without it. I had to take a flight. I was like, I'm going to lose my mind. Do you understand? the voice that was telling me this is wrong, Gabriel, became more and more and more quiet until I couldn't hear it at all. Growing in the Holy Spirit means hearing that, feeling that compunction and saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to follow. And the more that I do that, the better that I can hear it. My father was really good at it. He spent 4 hours praying every day, and so he was splitting hairs about should I watch the Lakers or not. I'm not there yet, right? But I'm so much further than I was. I'm growing. I'm evolving. I'm being better. I have measurable increase in my own life. And that's the most important thing. I was speaking with Daniel this week about like our goals for the future. What do we want to do as a community, as a church, as a school? And we find ourselves kind of in this tough position, right? Because many traditional theologists have a us and them view of the world. Us who are saved and them who are not. We got to get them to think like us, right? So any person with that mindset is going to have a hard time reassessing their viewpoints. But any person who has not in that mindset is going to drive by and see all of the imagery, and they're going to paint us with the same brush that they paint them. Did that make sense? I have a friend at Trader Joe's who's Catholic. And they're a good person. They're a good Christian Catholic person who tries to do their best. And every time, I didn't know they were Catholic for a long time. And I was like, dude, why don't you tell me? I'm like, you know, it's just my own. I was like, I get that, man. I'm right there. And they're like, but also people like kind of have a view of Catholics. The first thing that most people hear think about when they think of Catholics is priests who have done things that are bad. Most people who think of Catholics think like, man, the church has done all of these terrible things to Native Americans and the priests who've done this, that, and the other and the corrupt organization. And so every Catholic, regardless of what they've done, gets painted with this brush. So as a Christian, I get painted with that same brush by people who are not Christian. How can I... The Lord says to spread the gospel. How can I spread to them? Hey guys, this book that you don't believe in says that I'm right. Well, I don't believe in that book. Well, okay, but the book's about this guy who says that I'm right. Well, I don't believe in that guy. How on earth could I spread the gospel to a person like that? By growing myself. My son, whom I love dearly, has been asking more questions about church, about theology, not because of the fact that I found the perfect Bible verse to tell him, but he has seen me grow where before we would drive to In-N-Out and I'm punching the roof because I can't stand all these idiots who get in my way all the time. Don't they know I got stuff to do? Because the Lord told me, revealed to me, that's not the way to live, Gabe. How are you going to witness to anybody? You can't drive down the street without getting angry. That's right. It's not them who needs to change and grow. It's me who needs to change and grow. Lo and behold, we drive calm as Hindu cows. Aiden sees that. My kids see that. And that is the witness. We're going to read a Bible verse. Jude, the Bible is like a book that, I'm just joking. I always tease him. We're going to read John, chapter 15. I have the free version of my digital Bible on my phone, so I get ads every time I change the chapter. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, a vine dresser, for those of you who don't know, grapevines are thigmotropic. Thigmotropic is plants' response to touch. Geotropic is plants' response to gravity. So a plant will almost always grow up. But a plant has response to outside stimulus. Heliotropic means that it like will always grow towards sunlight. It'll always grow towards water. That's hydrotropic, right? So thigmotropic means that a certain plants that are vines have special leaves called tendrils, and since they don't have a trunk or a stem that holds them up, they'll just flop to the side. You'll see, if you look at these vines right up here, this ivy, it's growing, sending out those tendrils, and where it finds stuff, it grows around it because it can't support it on its own. So grapevines would grow wildly just on the ground, but if you're an owner of a vineyard, you don't want your grapes growing on the ground. People could squish them, the bugs will get them, all that kind of stuff. So you build these like fence areas, and then the vines grow up and that way you can go along and pick them, right? So a vine dresser is somebody who guides how the vines grow. And so if there is a vine or a stem or a branch that starts to get sick or wither, they cut it away so that it won't take nutrients from the healthy vines, the healthy branches. That makes sense? And then they prune it so that it bears better fruit. The vine dresser is trying to create the best, healthiest plant that produces the juiciest, sweetest grapes. So the Holy Spirit is the vine dresser. Now, many people have read this, and they think of the vine as humans, right? And that we're all growing. And that the Lord, those who reject the Lord, they're pruned and thrown in the fire. Those are the bad guys. That's them. But those of us who do right by the Lord, he helps us produce more and more fruit. I would argue that each and every one of us are our own vine. And that as we seek the Lord, he will help us to prune behavior that's killing us if we are devoted to him. So if playing video games is not a bad thing by itself, but if that vine of playing video games is taking away from the vine of praying, seeking the Lord, spending time with my children, then the Lord will reveal to me, Gabriel, you're playing too many video games, and then I gotta prune that and throw it in the fire so that I can spend time doing the things that are good for me. Now, Daniel may not have that problem with video games, right? So the Lord's not going to reveal to him, not going to prune that branch for Daniel, right? Each one of us are our own vine, our own branches, and as we continue to live and grow, if we follow the word of the Holy Spirit and his guidance, we prune away from ourselves the things that take away from our growth. And we invest in those things that help us to bear fruit. I don't think that it's a mistake that the Lord always uses growth and fruit as a way, as a metaphor, as a parable for our lives. Because trees live a long time. Plants can grow to incredible. It's something that we can understand intrinsically and that we can help follow. I don't know if I said that well enough. He says the good tree only produces good fruit. So we know that if our lives are producing bad fruit, if we're sad, if we're miserable, if we're sick, then we need to follow the Holy Spirit more closely. Did that make sense? So the last 2 weeks I've been on vacation from school, yes. And you would think that's the best time. And in many ways it is. I get to spend time with my kids. However, it does also give you time to focus on things that are of the bad tree. I'll give you an example. Just before I do, it's important, I hope, I want to remind constantly, the reason that I use my own life when I'm giving these sermons is because each and every one of us are on our own journey. One of the problems with traditional religion is that there's this concept of one person has the answers and the other person has the questions. And so the answers come from top to bottom. But each and every one of us have our own answers inside of us if we're willing to seek it. So I have a hard time telling you all what I think you should do. But what I feel comfortable with is living my own life to the best that I can and telling you what has worked for me. Did that make sense? So I can't tell Emilio how to live his life. He has just as much wisdom or more than I do. He has more life experience. Emilio's going to find those answers for himself. I'm going to find my answers for myself. And together as a community, we grow. That's the gospel. Each and every one of us has our own path. We have our own fruit. We have our own names. We have our own pace. So when I'm talking about growing in the Holy Spirit, I want to do it whether there's 1,000 people here or 3 people. Because it's so good that my life will grow abundantly. My joy, my peace, my happiness will grow regardless of how many people are in the church. And the more that it grows, the more people will see it, and coincidentally, the more people will come. So during these last 2 weeks, I got into a state of malaise. I'm normally kind of a busy person. I work a couple jobs. I have a couple kids. I got 2 cats. They're awesome, but I was trying to pray this morning, and they were scratching at the door. I said, Lord, please heal this. I'm a busy person. I got things to do. But I had 2 weeks off, so I thought, oh, great. So I kind of started doing all of the things that I want to do. But in that, I kind of took my eye off the ball. I started ordering food. And I thought, that's the holidays, man. Eating sweets, getting Postmates, right? That's the holidays, man. There's nothing wrong with Postmates. There's nothing wrong with junk food until there is. If you order Postmates when you don't have the budget for Postmates, then that makes Postmates bad. That's got to be pruned. Video games by themselves are not bad. Alcohol by itself is not bad. But if it's causing you to take your eye off the ball and not invest in the branch that leads to the good fruit, then it becomes bad. And so in my kind of laziness, I gave the devil an opportunity. And instead of looking at the new year as an opportunity for further growth, I looked at it as a chance or as a way to look at the things that I was missing. The same things that have always been, it's the same holiday, same situation, same person. The only thing that has changed was, instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, I started listening to the enemy. And he started telling me all of the things that I was missing. Now, obviously, once again, it's not the voice saying, Gabe, you don't have this, you don't have that. But it's the emotion, the feeling of, you're going to spend New Year's alone. Well, why are you going to spend New Year's alone? Because you did this wrong, because you did this wrong, because you did this wrong. The same way he causes me fear and panic, right? What if this? What if that? What if this? And the more that I'm listening to the enemy, the less fruit of the Spirit that I have. We got to be plugged in. We have to be plugged in. I'll continue reading. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So when I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, if you cut the branch off the vine, no grapes are going to grow from it. It dies. When I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, there's none of the fruits of the Spirit. There's none of the peace. There's none of the joy. There's none of the love that I felt. Instead of waking up with a vision and being like, I got all day to do whatever I want, I woke up and thought, like, what's the point? Instead of looking at all the things I could do, I looked at all the things I didn't have. And I believe because we didn't have church last week. I think that gave the enemy an opportunity to weasel his way back in my life a little more. And I started thinking of all of the things that I didn't have. Not material things. I've gotten pretty good at that. Sometimes I get that. But all of the things I didn't have in terms of like my personal life, my personal accomplishments. I'm not plugged into the branch. I'm not plugged into the vine. So I started to lose those things that I had fought hard to gain. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You got to decide for yourself what that means. If God actually does cut off people and throw them into the fire, then I have been grossly misinformed about his love. What I think that means is that the extent to which you ignore the Holy Spirit, you will live in misery. You can call it anything you want. The universe, karma, the Holy Spirit, the good force in this world that God has given us. If you ignore it, regardless of anything else, you will live an unhappy life. That's why rich people have drug problems and poor people have drug problems. Poor people have happy marriages and rich people have happy marriages. It's not conducive to whether or not you have things. It's conducive to whether or not you are listening to that positive force that is the Holy Spirit. If you are not listening to it, it doesn't matter how much time you have off, you'll still be miserable. And if you are listening to it, it doesn't matter how many jobs you have, you'll still be peaceful. We got to be plugged in. The growth is not out there. It's in here. Plugged into the Holy Spirit, listening, dedicating myself to it. That's where the growth is. That's where that compunction, that compelling nature of the Lord draws me closer to him. And so even though my circumstances may not change, I myself will have changed drastically. I was a teacher for years and years and years. I was a miserable teacher for most of those years. I would bark at the kids, punish them, rant and rave. Kids these days, how could they? As if every generation hasn't complained about the new one. Kids these days with their iPads. Kids these days with their hippie one love. It's nothing has changed. If I can grow, then it doesn't matter about them because I will have peace and they will see it. But if I'm listening to the voice that says, look at those kids, they always break the rules, look at those kids, they're always doing this, they're on their iPad, blah, 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 then I will be miserable. My job hasn't changed. It's only me. The traffic in L.A. has not gotten any better. Ask Daniel Mabusi. The traffic has not gotten any better and probably never will. If you're waiting for Caltrans to fix the traffic, grab a seat, buddy. The traffic won't change, but I can. I can produce good fruit, patience. I'm not the president. I do not need to be at school in 5 minutes. I can wait. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience. My daughter didn't clean her room. Patience, love. My daughter means more to me than anything in this world. Would I let the devil steal that from me? Because there's an empty McDonald's cup? Do you understand? Yes, I do need to teach my children how to clean their room. But first, I got to work on me. First, I got to plug into the vine and have that fruit of the Spirit that's loving, that's kind, that's patient, that's generous. Then and only then will our relationship be what it should be. I had a friend growing up who had a spotless house. And they were always getting into trouble. Is the spotless house worth the trouble? I'm speaking in kind of absolutes, but you understand what I'm saying? I can and will get a clean house. But first, I got to work on me. I can and will have a great work environment, but first, I got to work on me. I can and will drive to school through traffic, but first, I got to work on me. It's wide open. It's right there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Take it. Well, how? These other idiots are in the way. That's not the point. It's right here, at hand. Listen to him. Plug into the vine. Get the fruits of the Spirit, and then live your life, man. Don't worry about converting them. Live your life the way the Holy Spirit wants you to live it, and they'll come to you. Live your life the way the Holy Spirit wants, and those kids will act the way they should. Not because you barked at them for 100th time, but because they respect you. You understand? I'm talking at myself right now. I could yell at my kids. I could take away their phones. I could ground them for 1,000 years and get my clean room. And they'll grind their teeth. I had a child text me earlier this week. I hate my dad so much. Blah, 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 blah. Did you get the room cleaned the way you wanted it? How can we be so deceived? How can we be so deceived? I spent 38 of my 41 years looking at all of the problems that everybody had, ranting and raving. I one time spoke to Judd for 10 minutes because this little kid was wearing a Run DMC shirt that I thought he didn't deserve. What kind of maniac? You understand? If I had gotten a really good job and started making a lot of money without growth in the Holy Spirit, I would still be looking at people to rant and rave about. It's me. Me. I got to change. Everybody knows that quote, be the change you want to see in the world. And then they think to themselves, yeah, why won't all these people be the change they want to see in the world? Me. I got to work on me. The Holy Spirit came to save me. It's so good. It's so good when I'm tapped in. When I'm tapped in, nothing can touch me. When I'm tapped in, I'm not worried about death. I'm not worried about my kids. I'm not worried about the bills. When I'm tapped in, I know that the Holy Spirit will provide because the Lord is faithful. And when I'm not tapped in, everything scares me. Dad, can I go play outside? No. Somebody could come and get you. What about the bills? What's going to happen to the house? Be observant. This year, this week, this hour, be observant. Grow with the Holy Spirit. And think to yourself, how can I grow with him more and more? Not for him. Not for them. Because you will reap the rewards. It's good. It's so good, dude. It's so good, dude. It's so good. And everybody out there who's missing out is thinking to themselves, those idiots. They paint us all with the same brush. And I think to myself, if you only knew, man, if you only knew, I don't got a problem with you smoking weed, but if you only knew, you wouldn't have to. And that's coming from a person who's done a lot of things to try and give themselves a moment of peace. If I only knew, if I could travel back in time. Gabriel, you're not going to be happy that way, dude. It's never going to be enough, man. I was looking out there for my happiness. I was looking out there. Where on earth can I find happiness? There's got to be someone out there for me. In here is where it is. In here. And the more that I can hold on, plug in, all of it else comes. The things that I need. You think you know what you need, but you don't know. As a child, you think, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to have a mansion with a butler and blah, 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 blah. They've been lied to. If you're not plugged in, the mansion with the butler and the Bugatti will not make you happy. But if you are plugged in, you will be happy. And then if you get the mansion and the Bugatti, that's blessings, man. That's gravy. I thought I knew what I wanted to make me happy, and I lived for years in ignorance and depression and anger. Years and years thinking, soon as I get this, soon as this happens, soon as... First, I work on me, then that comes. First, I work on me, and then it all comes. Peace that passes understanding. We can't even understand what he truly wants for us. We're going to grow, dude. We're going to grow. We're going to grow, each and every one of us. We just got to be mindful. When we're doing the things that are contradictory to the Holy Spirit, cut it out. Cut it out. Not for him. Not because it's a sin. Not because you're bad. For your own growth. Gabe, are you playing too much video games? Cut it out. Gabe, are you getting too irritated at your kids? Cut it out. Gabe, are you bothered at traffic? Cut it out. Gabe, are you ranting and raving at your students? Cut it out. Plug into the vine and get that fruit, man. Those plums, Emilio. Deep bluish hue. That's an inside joke. It's ours. It's ours for the taking. It's ours every single moment of every single day. And it's so much more valuable that you'd be willing to give it all away. 2008 Subaru Impreza, I'd give it away. How could you, Gabe? It's that good. It's so good. We just got to grow in it. Be blessed this year. Be blessed. Be blessed. And the way you are blessed is by waking up and starting with it. The way you are blessed is by working on yourself. And the more that you do, your rewards will be proportionate to the work that you do on yourself. When you fail, do not beat yourself up. Resolve to do better and continue. This week was kind of an L, as the kids would say. I did not do well this week. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me that I did not do well this week. I know that I did not do well this week, and I'm not going to dwell on it. It's a new year. It's a new me. Be blessed this week. Be encouraged this week. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving me this time. We will grow in numbers and in our connection to the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be so good. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your promises. Help us, Lord. Help us this week to put you first in our lives. Help us this year, Lord, to grow in you, with you. Help us to have ears to hear and give us the courage to follow it. Give us the wisdom to know the things that we got to cut out. And give us the courage to do it, Lord. Humble us, Lord. Give us the humility that comes from putting ourselves last so that we can be what you want us to be, Lord. We work on ourselves every day and we grow in your spirit. Help us to see the plans of the enemy and help us to avoid them and dismantle them. Help us to be who you would have us be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to take communion. I'll say a quick prayer over it, and then I'll open it, and you guys can help yourself. My Catholic friend believes in transubstantiation. Those of you who don't remember, it's Jesus says, take the bread and eat it as my body, and drink the wine and drink it as my blood. And Catholics believe very, you know, not metaphorically, very literally, that when a priest prays over it, it changes into actual body and actual blood. Just like church, communion is a touchstone, a reminder of who is our leader, who is our guide. And so we take it to remind ourselves and to show ourselves that he is the vine and we are the branches and we're going to grow in him. All right, say another quick prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for coming to this world and for giving us hope. Thank you for helping us grow, Lord. Now as we take communion, help us to remember to grow in you, Lord. To be your flesh is our flesh, your blood is our blood. We grow with you, Lord, and in you, and we become the people that we want to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.